It's the Dad in a Rock podcast. This is Sean.
And this is Chris.
Join us every week as we give you the dad's point of view on pop culture.
And stumbling our way through fatherhood. Dad jokes.
Star Wars.
Streaming.
Tech news.
Movie news.
Listen to lifelong pals tell stories from past and present.
Cruise with us into the cheesy every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and other podcast platforms.
And as always, find past episodes and links to our social media pages on dadinarock.com.
Welcome to another episode of My Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And it is good to be back. This is not my first episode back, but it is good to be back with you, Trisha. Last time we talked, it was at the end of September. Now here we are in the middle, almost to the end of October. And it's like life comes at you pretty hard. And that's the one thing that we have always tried to balance with this show is obviously what's going on in our world and doing this show. So in the past 3 weeks, I've gone to New York. I have said goodbye to my dog and just been constantly working. Which has just really thrown things off. So I do want to say, because I don't want to bring the mood down. I do want to say thank you to all of our listeners that did reach out through the Twitter feed or elsewhere to wish me condolences on the loss of Reese. That is not her barking in the background. That's Ripley.
Ripley wants it to be known that she is still here.
She's still here. Losing that dog after 14 years is it was rough, so no pun intended. I thank you guys for that outshowing of love and support. I do really appreciate it. I'm gonna miss that dog. I do miss that dog. No ifs, ands, or buts. Trish, I know you miss her too, so
I haven't been over there since she's been gone. I know that first time I walk in the door and she's not there at the top of the stairs, half asleep, like, you come say hi to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll hit me.
Yeah. Dinner time has been awfully quiet and I've actually had room in the bed to actually sleep and spread out and I fucking hate it. So, moving on from that, I do have to backtrack. New York was fantastic. I actually have stories from that trip that I want to share that I'm going to bring Crystal in. Maybe we'll do like a New York movie specific episode. But we had a funny incident of the late show Stephen Colbert taping that we went to that we have to talk about. But another time. So in the last 3 weeks, we've been working. We have had our fair share of customers. I've also worked at another location, in the last 2 weeks, and I had, honestly, this is like next level Karen stuff, Trisha. I mentioned it briefly to you guys in a text message, but this is one that like I sat there afterwards and I was just completely miffed by it. So let me story time. So I am up at our flagship location up north bartending as they are getting another location ready with all the bartending staff and kitchen staff. So they needed help up there. So I went up to bartend. Riker, I'm in the middle of a story. You're going to have to wait a minute. So my second week there, my last day there, last Sunday, I'm working. It's slow. The Chiefs are playing. There's no real business coming in. It is what it is. But it's about 3 o'clock-ish. It's afternoon. Anyway, we had a couple of teenagers that came in, and they had ordered tickets online for Halloween Kills. Now, just for frame of reference, if you order online, up there, their staff, I have to give them credit, are really good about making sure that they check everybody's tickets as they're walking past. Because when you first walk into the building, you have a box office, which is not always open. To the left, and then to the right, you have kiosks to buy tickets at. So it's easy to get tickets without getting carded. It's that getting your tickets checked at the at the counter that can throw you off. So these two had come in with tickets for Halloween Kills. They're underage. They're about 15. So they're, I'm assuming it's the boy. His mom comes in and she doesn't raise a fit, Trisha. I have to give her props. She was very, very calm, very polite about everything. And so she's
sometimes asked, those are the scariest ones.
Yeah. Well, it gets a little hinky here at the end. So anyway, so she goes up to the little gal at the concession stand. I say little gal, she is very small. And didn't seem like super sure about what to do, but she handled herself pretty well, I thought. So anyway, so this woman asks, you know, well, I bought them the tickets, like, you know, so they have my permission to go if they want to go. And the gal tells her, unfortunately, that's not how this works. There is an R-rated policy that you actually have to go with them if they are under, if they are both under 17 and cannot provide ID to show that they're over 17. And so this woman goes, okay, well, she goes, that's fine. She goes, is that on the website anywhere? Or, yeah, and so this gal, she's not quite sure. She goes, I honestly don't know where it's at on the website. She goes, I'm sure it is. So while she's dealing with her.
I'm going to interject for a second. I can't speak for this location, but I know we do. We have the R-rated policy posted in our building. Mm-hmm. People just choose to ignore it and then try to get mad at us claiming that we don't tell them that.
Yeah. So
we do.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's on their front facing monitors like it is in ours. So anyway, so I decide to be, you know, even though I'm not a manager at this location, nor am I really fulfilling manager duties up there, I decide to be a good manager and go on the website and go see if I can find it specifically. And I can. You can actually find our R-rated policy under the frequently asked questions section of our corporate website. And it's a little thing that says regarding R-rated movies. You click on that, it expands and it gives you the rundown and it tells you must be 17 or older with an ID in order to get in. Minors under the age of 17 must be accompanied by an adult 21 or older. Children under the age of or six and under will not be admitted to R-rated movies after 6 p.m. Things like that.
The only part of that is specific to our company is the part about kids under six. The rest of that is standard in the industry. Yes. That is as set forth by the MPAA.
So the last bit is the bit at the bottom where it says, if you are underage and you are caught in an R-rated movie, and you're, you know, underage, you will be asked to leave without a refund. Now, we're not that like harsh about it. We typically will give you the option to go ahead and swap to another movie.
It's if you get mouthy that we tend to get mouthy. Be like, nope, you're gone.
Yeah. Once you get mouthy, you can get right the fuck out. So, so she finishes up, they get swapped to a different movie. I think it's Adam's Family. That's what they're going to go see. So she gives her son a hug and a kiss goodbye. And she's starting to walk away. I look at her and go, ma'am, can I just pull you aside for a second? She goes, yeah, sure. And I go, I just wanted to show you, cause I overheard your question about where you can find the R-rated policy on the webpage. And she goes, yeah. And I said, well, I just want to show you, it is on the webpage. It's under here. Told her what I just told you guys. It's under FAQs. Boom, right there. And she kind of looks at it and she goes, okay. She goes, well, I respect the policy. And I said, okay, like, good. Cause there's no getting around it. I just wanted to show you it's there and that it can be found. And so she makes the comment. She goes, I just think it should pop up whenever you're buying tickets to an R-rated movie. And I, you know, at that point I'm going, that's not an unreasonable request. I don't think it could be on there. Now, granted, I don't know what programming you would have to do to the website to make that happen. And I kind of said as much, and I said, unfortunately, I don't run the website. I can't make that change, but I can show you where to find it on there. And she was very, you know, receptive to that. And she goes, no, I understand. She goes, I will just email so-and-so's parents. He's one of the students in my class. I'll just email his parents and let them know that they should look into getting that change. And I just went, oh, okay. And she walked away and I just sat there and it was like somebody hit me with the stupefy spell. I was just like, what? Like that confused woman meme where you see all the trigonometry going on? That was me. Like
so-and-so being one of the VPs of our company.
Yeah.
/ owner's kid.
Yeah.
So you can imagine why we're like, wait, what?
We're like, okay. So I'm going, wait a minute. So you're a teacher. You are teaching the young child of one of the owner family members. You're going to email them, I would assume probably from your teacher's email from school, to let them know about.
As someone who studied education, when you told me this, I was horrified.
Yeah.
That is completely an abuse of your position, and that should never happen.
Yeah, I, as a soon-to-be parent, I'm going, if I was a business owner and somebody, it would almost be like if my child was in class and the teacher listened to my podcast and said, or our podcast, and said, I like your dad's show, but maybe I should email him to let him know that the language isn't appropriate. My response back to the teacher would probably be, fuck off. Your email is not intended to tell me how to do my job or run my business or run my show.
You have the parents' contact information to talk to them about their child, specifically their child's education.
Exactly.
You should not be talking to them about personal matters or matters pertaining to the parent's business that does not affect the child or the child's education.
No.
Period. End of story.
Yeah.
That is wholly inappropriate.
Yeah. I was shell shocked. And I don't know how old her kid is and if they're in preschool or whatever. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You should never, never do that.
No.
And I'm sitting there going, I know that this family is pretty well known and embedded into the community up there.
Yes.
But even then, I feel like you have to have a line drawn somewhere with that community.
Yeah.
That for me, that would be it. Like, I'm sorry,
if that was me and my kid's teacher did that, I would be immediately contacting the principal, be like, this is not okay. Do something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, regardless of what you think about the policy. Now, it would be different if, say this parent showed up to parent teacher conference, they went through the whole conference, and then teacher says, oh, by the way, just as an aside, can I throw this at you? Like I did see, I feel like that's a little different. It probably shouldn't be happening there, but at the very least, it's a face-to-face interaction as opposed to the latter, you know, or to the former, to using this company or your school email to complain about a corporate issue elsewhere. Yeah. You know, I was blown away by it. And like afterwards I looked at some of the other staff members and of course we started cracking jokes about, and I'll get to that in a second, but I just went, I said, guys, come here. I need to share this story because I need to process it. And I told them, these guys, which I barely know, the story. And they just go, that is next level Karen. But one of them said something to me that just stood out. And I'm going to share it with you. He goes, yeah. He goes, that's pretty out of pocket. He goes, but I wouldn't be shocked to see that get changed after she emails. And I said, you're probably not wrong. I wouldn't change it on principle at that point. You're not going to sit there and harass me about, you know, about my work through your school email. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't.
Like, you're not wrong, but you went about this completely wrong.
Yeah. Or my simple response would be, I'm sorry, I'm off the clock. You're emailing my personal email. If you don't mind sending that through our corporate, through the website that contacted
me. We have a system in place on our website to contact us and to submit things like that. Also, she could have very easily been like, I get that you don't run the website, but could you pass that along?
Yeah. And I did say, I will pass that on. And she goes, oh, don't worry about it. She goes, I'll just email so-and-so. And I just went,
no,
what? Yeah. It was the, oh, so-and-so's, you know, a child or a student in my class. And yeah, I'll just email his parents. And I'm just going, okay. Like, I'm not shocked by the fact that you teach one of their kids. What I'm shocked by is the fact that you would just think it's okay to go ahead and email. Now, if you know them on a very personal level outside of the classroom, maybe a little different, but like just the shell shock of hearing somebody say that who I don't know, and I don't know what their other connection is to the family. but then it started this whole conversation up there with, can you imagine what that family gets to put up with every time they go to church or goes to certain functions, or, and they're just trying to do family things and somebody has to come up and tell them something. Yeah. I would just be annoyed as all hell. And maybe that's why I don't run my own business. Like, I just, because I would, I'd be the one person going, I'm off the clock. What the, like, but you own the business.
I would make sure no one knew who I was.
Right.
My face would not be on anything. My name would be on very little.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would be a ghost.
I was miffed. I immediately had to text you and a couple other people, just go, y'all ain't gonna believe this shit. Like, so yeah. So there was that. Before that, before I went up to this location, I did get some name calling in, and I know you had an incident while I was gone, and we're gonna get to that in a second. But I want to just go through the escalation of issues in regards to this mask mandate. We have talked about it, and I feel like we've talked about it ad nauseum on this show, and I'm really sick and tired of talking about it, but then shit keeps happening.
It's never ending.
It is never ending. I'm to the point where I'm going, just end the mandate already. That way I can quit listening to customers bitch about it. Like, I don't care if they get sick anymore, which is a pretty heartless thing to say, but
I've said that a lot in the last week or so, is that, yeah, I think we need the mandate, but I'm ready for it to end because my mental health cannot take dealing with it anymore.
Yeah. I'm over it. I am so over it. So let me spin a yarn for you. So it is a Saturday night? I think it was a Saturday night. Anyway, I'm there. We're fairly busy. And, you know, of course we're running low on masks, to give out to people. I think this is Venom opening weekend, actually. So anyway, I see this fella across the way with his girlfriend. She's got her mask on. He does not. And of course, he's got like a dirt bag looking vibe to him anyway. And yeah, so I'm going to take this opportunity to bash him at every chance I get, because here's how it went. Holler across to him. It's like, sir, do you have a mask? And he goes, I have a medical exemption. We all know medical exemptions are bullshit. Like, that's not a thing. If you have an issue to where you can't wear a mask, you probably shouldn't be out and about with a respiratory virus. We've said that repeatedly.
We have been told by our corporate office that we do not recognize medical exemptions.
Yes.
There are no exceptions.
So.
And before someone tries to come after me for that, yeah, if you know anything about the ADA, we are completely within our legal right to do that.
Yeah. So I said, sir, you just have to wear it while you're in the lobby. Once you're in your seat, you can take it off, but you have to wear it out here in the common areas. And instead of just saying, okay, you know, that's reasonable, he yells out, socialist. Socialist. And my immediate thought is, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
There's a certain group of people out there that socialist is just a generic word for anyone who does something I don't agree with.
Right. I believe the term he would be looking for, as somebody trying to impose their will upon him with any kind of force, would be more like fascist, which again, this still doesn't qualify under, but at least it's closer to what he wants to get his point across. And I just yelled out, cool, put the mask on anyway. And he goes, he just yells out and he goes, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Trisha.
I'm not.
No, Trisha. Like, Megan was standing in the bar and was hearing this whole thing. And I think I could hear just the squeal of joy coming from behind her mask. Just like, I'm going to get to see King Cowboy again. Like, that's what came out. And I could not help myself, Trisha. I just yelled across the way, I should be, but I can assure you, I'm not. Put the mask on or leave. Those are your options. So he puts his mask on. Of course, he has to come over to my register to deal with me. And he notices on my arm, I've got my scoundrel Millennium Falcon tattoo. All he can see is scoundrel. And so I get him rung up for his breeze, and I'm polite to him. I'm not addressing the situation any further. He's got the mask on. He is now complying. That's all I asked. I could have honestly kicked him out for calling me a socialist, because I'm not going to take that kind of disrespect. But that was then. 3 weeks later, here I am talking about it. I'm going, next person to call me a socialist is getting kicked right the fuck out with no refund, and we will see how it ends. So he goes, "Scoundrel." And I go, "Mm-hmm." And he goes, "Do you serve in the military?" And I go, "No." I said, no, I'm a big Star Wars fan, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, "So did you like side with the rebels or the Empire?" I said, "I mean, it's a movie." I said, "Yeah, if I had to choose, I'd side with the rebels, but you know." And he goes, "Well, you just seem like you the type of person that would sell out to the First Order to me." And again, King Cowboy came out, Trisha. I just looked at him and go, "Sir, I would sell you out for a fucking Klondike bar right now. Here's your breeze. Have a good night." I didn't say fucking. That was the only thing I didn't say. So I just said, "I would sell you out for..."
Almost like in those movies, there's one side that imposes their will on everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's not the rebels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me you watched the entire series and didn't understand it.
What threw me off was the fact that he wanted to say, "I'd sell out to the First Order." And I'm sitting there going, I just wanted to ask him, like, how did you feel about the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol? Like, were you in favor of that or no? Because that's definitely First Order behavior. And I can assure you, I did not fucking agree with it. Trisha, I was to the point afterwards, I wished I would have gone ahead. If I was not so vehemently against stolen valor, I would have said, "Yes, actually, I served in Afghanistan for your right to call me a socialist over a mask mandate I have no control over. Get the fuck over yourself." Like, these people have no perspective about this. And that's because I guarantee, had I said that, his attitude probably would have changed. Maybe I should not disrespect the veteran. And that really pisses me off. You shouldn't disrespect anybody, regardless of their status, current military, you know, veteran, whatever. You should not just disrespect somebody about a mandate that they have no control over that you don't agree with. If you don't agree with it, there's a town literally 10 miles up the road, a movie theater 10 miles up the road without a mask mandate. Go the fuck there and leave me alone.
It would take 5 minutes to get to from our theater.
And quit being a disrespectful fuckhead about it. Like, seriously. That pisses me off.
You know, it's even sadder. Let's chances are, even if you would have said you were a vet, he still would have called your names, told you were a disgrace to the uniform.
Probably.
Don't you know that if guys like that only support the military as long as they agree with them?
Right. And that's exactly what would have happened.
Which makes it worse, because right. that's BS.
You're probably right. So anyway.
Well, my veteran father wears his mask without complaint and is annoyed by the people who do complain. So,
yeah.
He doesn't like it, like most of us, but he does it.
Yeah.
Because he's an actual caring human being.
Yeah. So that was level one. Level two, I have a family come in and I tell, you know, their daughter, who's probably about 12 or 13, she's got her mask around her chin and her mom's dealing with me. And dad and other daughter are across the way heading to the bathroom. Dad doesn't have a mask on. And I'm going, okay, I'll just catch him when he comes out. Well, daughter is there with mask around her chin. And I lean over and go, "Excuse me, sweetheart, can you pull your mask up for us, please? Like, just got to have it on in the lobby, just like I always do." And she does, she complies. And dad was out there and kind of watched the whole exchange. And she walked over to him. And the next thing I hear is, "Don't talk to my kid like that." And even his wife is like, "What the fuck is going on?" And I go, "What?" I said, "Excuse me?" He goes, "Don't talk to my kid like that." I go, "Sir, all I did was ask her to pull her mask up." And he goes, "Well, you let me do that. You don't talk to my child." And I'm going, over a mask? Like, really? Like, I wanted this dude to come. I said, "Sir, you also need to put a mask on and actually set an example." Like, I'm to the point, I want somebody to come across that counter. I want it. Like, I am asking for it. Because I'll make an example out of somebody is what's going to wind up happening. And so, yeah, his wife is sitting there going, "Honey, calm down. All he did was ask her to put her mask up." And he stormed off into the bathroom and he came out and he put his mask on and ordered his drink and immediately pulls it down so that he can drink his drink the entire way to the theater. Like, of course. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going, okay, I'm about to get into a fight with somebody's with somebody over asking their daughter, asking politely. Not, "Hey, put your mask up, you little shit." I didn't do no disrespect whatsoever. It's like, could you please pull your mask up? And that's what I get. And so we've got to that point. Again, it's going to escalate to violence, and I got a feeling it's coming sooner than later. Your incident that you had to deal with was not mask related, or at least I don't think it was, but you have a story that you have to share.
You talking about the recent one?
Yes. You know exactly which one I'm talking about.
Before we get to that, though, still on the masks, we had a health inspection recently. Standard run-of-the-mill health inspection. We have to get a minimum of 2 per year. This was our second one. Big deal. Lady was super nice. Not a big deal. But we're looking around at one point. I'm literally talking to her when you look over at the butter bar near us and see this girl just walking around with her mask on her chin. You're just like, hey, can you pull it up? And her reaction was, even if I'm eating or drinking? And you literally had to tell her, we have a representative from the health department right here. And she still like rolled her eyes and huffed and puffed like it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And it just drives me nuts because we had a very, very publicized battle between a restaurant in a nearby town and the county health department. And the restaurant lost. They lost their license, their food license from the health department because they refused to enforce the mask mandate. Yeah. They are now moving to said city we mentioned that does not have it.
Yeah.
And there's still people trying to fight with us and don't understand why we're enforcing it. Yeah. If we lose our food license, we shut down. Yeah. Period. End of story. There is no running without selling food because that's where we make our money.
Yep.
So yeah, we're going to enforce it.
Yeah.
So stop being stupid. I also had an old couple just straight up walk out because I wouldn't let them go in without a mask.
Yeah.
I said, masks are required in the lobby. She goes, I can't wear it. I said, I'm sorry, but masks are required in the lobby. You can take it off in the theater. She goes, okay. And turns around and walks away.
Yeah.
And her poor husband is in her wake like, what?
Yeah.
Just 2 minutes. We're asking you to wear it for a couple minutes until you get into your theater. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. I just.
But no. So the story you wanted me to tell.
Yes. Yeah.
Nothing to do with masks.
No.
This is just a creepy dude.
Yeah.
So I was not bartending on this particular night, but if Megan steps away to do something and someone wants alcohol, I'll step in. I happened to help this dude both times he came up. He was just getting beer. No big deal. The first time he came up was with his wife, girlfriend, whatever. And he was nice. Nothing remarkable about it. But he came back up to get another one. And this time he was alone. And he was kind of odd. Like the first time he was mostly talking to the girlfriend, except when he was ordering. But this time, like, he was just acting kind of odd. And I don't know if it's just socially awkward or what. But I didn't think much of it. It was just kind of stilted, weird, like small talk. So I get him his beer, I bring him up, and there's a certain phrase we are required to say at the end of our transactions. I don't want to say it.
Yep.
It'll give us away. But there's a certain phrase that we are required by corporate to say at the end of every transaction. Everyone does this. So I say it, and his immediate response is, don't say that to me.
I hadn't heard this one.
Like, it took me a second. And I was like, I'm sorry, that's a corporate thing. They tell us I'm required to say it. I have to say it. And he's just like, well, okay, I understand. But, and he kind of stands there for a second. Now keep in mind, he's paid. He has signed his receipt. We are done.
Yeah.
And he kind of stands there for a second, kind of looking off at the side. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening here?
Right.
And then he finally kind of looks at me and goes, with hips like those though, you can say whatever you want, and walks off. And I'm like, what the hell?
So I didn't hear that part of the story. I didn't really lead up to that, or that was the lead up to.
Proceeded to spill some of his beer on the way out too. And I was just like, I kind of said, like, I literally had to go in the back. Megan was in the back trying to eat some food real quick. And so I had to go back there and I was like, I have to tell someone what just happened because I need to process this. What the fuck? Don't do that. That's creepy.
That is super creepy.
Especially while someone's at work.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they can't get away from you. Like that's. I didn't realize that was what led up to it. All I got was that's what he said to you. And I just went.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Speaking of things not to do to people while they're at work. We had a person come in. I haven't told you this.
Oh.
Had a person come in yesterday and he kind of wandered in. Like it looked like he'd gone to the kiosk and then he walked in. So I kind of was watching him trying to figure out where he went. Cause I wasn't sure if he had a ticket or not. he turned a corner and then he comes back. And I'm like, okay, maybe he was just trying to figure out if something was at a big, I don't know, but he's coming back. So whatever. So he walks up to me and starts saying something about fundraising. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking he's looking for some sort of donation. So I do the spiel of, I'm sorry that all goes through home office. Let me get you the contact info. He goes, oh, no. I mean you personally. Can I talk to you personally about this?
What?
Like, I was taken aback. But I was like, yep. I'm at work. That's not really appropriate. So no, you can't. And he just kind of looked surprised. I was like, oh, okay. And then he like just leaves. Were you just looking for people? Like, now, this was Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. We didn't have like, I think there was two people in the lobby at the moment and they were ordering their, you know, getting their popcorn, whatever. Were you just going to wander into a business and start harassing their customers or whoever you could find to fundraise for whatever it is you're fundraising for? I didn't even care. What?
Trisha, we need to just straight up get you a big ass diamond ring to put on your left ring finger. And I'm just going to thank everybody. You've got like four kids. You're married. Just ignore.
Funny story. I have a ring that one of my sisters got for all of us. My two sisters, my sister-in-law, and then like all four of us. And it's an infinity symbol on the inside. It says sisters.
Yeah.
I do wear it all the time and I wear it on my right ring finger. And sometimes I'm like, I hope someone sees that and thinks it's a promise ring and leaves me alone.
No.
Obviously it doesn't do very any good, but I have thought about switching it to my left hand at times though, just to be like, leave me alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Can I talk to you about fun? No, I am at work. You cannot talk to me about fundraising right now. Go away.
Like this, I just said, this is the conversation about fundraising. It ends here. Like you have
like to. Like we hear people come in all the time wanting some sort of donation. Mm-hmm. We get the school, especially the local school district, coming in all the time. Like, hey, can you donate some popcorn or some passes for our raffle we're doing or whatever. And we try to do what we can. And we like I tried to tell him, it was like all of that kind of stuff goes through corporate, and so generally it has to go through them, but yeah, well, we try to help out. But yeah, to talk to me personally about it, no, go away.
New.
This is not an appropriate place to have this conversation.
Right.
Go somewhere else and harass someone else somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna have to get some stuff that just warns creepy dudes off of you. Like, I don't know what we have to do, but we need to work on that. Short of getting you a boyfriend, but I have to put him together, and he's gotta look like David Tennant, sound like Obi-Wan Kenobi, and sing like Jeremy Jordan. That's all I've got so far, and I don't think I've
sound like Ewan McGregor, not Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No.
The Scottish accent, not the English accent.
No. You're getting what you're getting. Look, beggars.
No.
Point, okay?
Actually, let's switch it then. Looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi, sounds like David Tennant.
I can't fix. Oh, it's weird. Okay, never mind. We'll move on. I can't picture that voice coming out of Ewan McGregor's mouth. How about we just go real, real funky with it? He looks like James McAvoy, but he sounds like Gerard Butler.
Just like to remind you, you started this conversation.
I did. And I'm just going to keep going back and forth till we come up with just the craziest combination for you. All right. So that was actually not the story I was referencing.
What story were you referencing then? Too much has happened in 3 weeks. I can't remember it all.
We talked about escalation getting to violence and what you had to put up with on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. See, I was thinking like, okay. Yeah.
No. Not escalation to, sexual harassment, but to actual, fisticuffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Saturday night, mm-hmm. Megan and I were working. Now, Halloween, it was this past weekend, Halloween was out. Movies like Halloween are what we refer to as late round movies.
Yeah.
don't do much during the day, but the later it gets, the busier it gets. So we were prepared for that. The night before, we'd gotten hit in the last round. The sevens were kind of meh, whatever. But the last round, we'd gotten hit, I think about 9:15, 9:20, and it kept up until after 10 o'clock. Like, it was just constant. So we were preparing for that Saturday night, and it wasn't as bad, thankfully. Yeah. You notice that Friday nights seem to be worse than Saturdays lately?
Yes.
It's weird. Anyway, off topic. So we get to the last round Saturday. We kind of get our rush like expected. It wasn't as bad. We were doing okay. It was around 10 o'clock-ish. All of us were on lines. Like, I usually try not to be on a line if I don't have to. I prefer to have one manager kind of free to deal with whatever shit comes up.
Right.
But this was not possible this time. So all of us had 2 to 3 people/groups in line. We were kind of, we reached the light at the end of the tunnel. We knew it was about done. And we're thinking, I was thinking, okay, we're almost done with this rush. And then it's finishing up whatever we need to do before close, before we go pull drawers.
Right.
Oh, famous last word. Next thing I know, the lady I'm helping, which we're getting a little low on popcorn, and I'm trying to stall with this lady because I know that the popcorn in the popper is about to pop. And I tell her this straight up because she was being kind of indecisive and she apologized. I was like, to be honest, I'm trying to wait as long as possible because we're getting low and I got popcorn about to pop. She goes, oh, fresh stuff. Yeah, that's fine. So I ring her up for her. She's gotten 2 popcorns, and then her husband had been in the bar line, had left the bar line to get her water out of the cooler, and then lost his spot in line. So he just walked up to her and he decided he wanted fountain drinks. So she was doing a second order. I was like, fine, I can ring her up, get her drinks, and then I'll go get her popcorn.
Yeah.
About this time is when she turns around and starts yelling, well, don't just watch someone break it up. That's when Megan and I look up, which from where we were, you can see up to, you can't see the front doors, like our box offices kind of block it, but there's a section in the corner of the very front lobby that we can see.
Yeah.
And when we look up, we see just this horde of teenagers. And in the midst of it all is 2 people throwing punches at each other.
Yeah.
So we're like, great. So Megan was luckily between customers at this point. So she grabs her phone and immediately starts walking out of the bar to go deal with it, despite still having people there. And I'm sitting there trying, I literally have this lady's money in my hand and I'm trying to get her to take it so that I can go make sure Megan's okay.
Yeah.
About this time, 2 men that were somewhere in the lobby, I don't know where they were when it started, went up there, broke it up, and basically shoved the kids out the door. So about this time I realized they're outside. I go, I get this lady's stuff. A lot of people that were kind of in line had kind of dispersed at this point to see what was going on. So the people who were still kind of around me, I was like, I start to go check on Megan. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys in the bar is like, oh, can I get a drink? And I was like, my only other manager is the bartender. We're the only 2 that are trained in the bar. She's up there trying to deal with this. I need to go make sure she's okay and everything's under control. And then I will be back. So I go up there, they're in the parking lot. Megan is in box office, talk on the phone with the cops, talking to them. She had called 911, not non-emergency. So they were on the phone with her. She confirms they're in the parking lot. So does the guy we had in box. And Megan's like, I'm fine. It's okay. I got this. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to head back there and try to take care of whatever customers are still there. So I go back there, had a couple of dudes get alcohol still. The lady I'd been helping was like, oh man, these kids are going to drive me to drink. Like, they're all like, okay, just fine. Laughing about it. Like, we were commenting on how easily the customers that were in the lobby at the time seemed to be like, oh man, that was crazy. Did you see this? Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Well, in the midst of all this is when I start hearing customers say, oh yeah, and that guy had a gun. Did you see it? I'm sorry, what? He what? How are you just so casual about the fact that these kids got in a fist fight and pulled guns on each other in our building?
Right.
So the one dude I helped said that he was one of the ones that helped break it up. So his movie had already started. And so I went ahead and asked him if he'd give me his contact info to pass along to the cops. He said, yes, no problem. And then the other person I helped was a lady who actually wanted a refund. She was like, I get this. She was super nice about it.
Yeah.
But she was there with her 13-year-old daughter. And apparently her 13-year-old daughter was just freaking out because she'd seen all this go down. And I was like, understandable. sure, let me process the refund for you. Like, I completely understand. Lady was super nice, wasn't trying to get mad at us or try to say that we did anything wrong. So gave, you know, the couple of people, they both wanted Hennessy, give them their drinks. They move on. I go back up front about the time the cops are here. What's kind of funny is that we used to have off-duty officers that would be at our location for security on Friday and Saturday nights. We had not had them back yet since we reopened. Mm-hmm. But now that we're getting busier again, we had had that conversation. I'd had that conversation with our boss that afternoon about, he was saying that he was going to contact our district manager and try to get them back. And the reason I say that is they're not cheap.
No.
Off-duty officers make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we'd had that conversation. I was like, yeah, we probably need it. We're getting busy again. We're having to, you know, deal with all these hordes of teenagers wandering around, like people fighting us. Mostly we were talking about for the mask mandate.
Yeah.
The people that are fighting us on the mask mandate, we can very easily then be like, you want to go talk to the officer about it?
Yeah. I was like, officer friendly, come here.
Yeah. So apparently when Megan was on the phone, whoever she was talking to, when they realized where she was calling from, the first question was, who's your off duty tonight? To which apparently when she responded, we don't have one, they immediately go, oh, I'm going to stay on the phone with you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So
if we had the off duty, this probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. So I finished up with the people in the bar that wanted alcohol. By this point, the lobby is mostly cleared out. Our two frontliners that are back there are going about their business. So I yelled to them. I was like, I'm going to go up and make sure everything's okay. They're like, yeah, we're good. So I go up there just in time to see Megan talking to two officers, one of which I recognize because he's one of our regular off duties. Mm-hmm. We have a handful of officers that sign up for the off-duty work at our theater a lot. So we kind of get to know them. He was one, and he sees me and immediately goes, why don't you have off-duty? You need to tell your boss when you off-duty. I was like, look, we had this conversation today. We're trying. So they pretty much, I guess, by the time the cops had gotten there, there were some people in the parking lot that said that the kids took off and, you know, scattered in opposite directions. So they're like, we're pretty sure they saw the lights and sirens and took off. They're gone. Mm-hmm. But they combed the parking lot for us to make sure that it was all clear,
right. Because
we did see them leave the building. So we knew they weren't in the building anymore. So they combed the lot and pretty much were like, we gave them, our box office employee wrote down it because he was right there. Like, it happened right in front of him.
Yeah.
So he wrote down everything he could remember about the kids. And I gave him the name and phone number of the dude that said he helped break it up. And they were pretty much, sorry, probably not much we can do, but
yeah,
we'll check the parking lot and make sure it's all good, which was, we were okay with. That was great.
Yeah.
So as soon as they leave, which as they start to leave, four more cops walk in. So there was at least six officers on site,
right. Which
given that there was guns present, I'm not complaining about.
Yeah.
So I go in the back to call our boss because I'm like, I'm going to have to email our district manager about what happened because that's standard operating procedure.
Right.
If an incident happens, we have to let them know so that they can be prepared in case someone tries to complain about whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, but I at least want to, given the severity of it, give our boss a call first, fill him in before I send the email. So I tell him what's happening. He goes, well, we actually already have confirmation that the off-duty is coming back.
Yeah.
I was like, well, if we didn't already, this would have confirmed it.
Right.
So as far as I know, nothing ever came of it. The only other thing that I know happened is the next morning, one of my sisters texted me a screenshot from the Nextdoor app, mm-hmm. one of those like neighborhood things. And it was a screenshot of someone who had posted, saw, you know, a bunch of, and they emphasized black teenagers for, you know, whatever reason,
yep.
got into a fight at the theater. And it was just, what is this city coming to? So my sister sees that and goes, are you okay? Were you working last night? So I had to reassure, I was like, I was working. It's okay. No one got hurt. It was a little scary, but
yeah.
we're fine. Well, in the meantime, I go looking for this post because I'm curious and I can't find it. And so then she texts me back and goes, well, it's gone now. the commenters got into a racial argument in the comments.
Of course they
did. So it was deleted. And I was like,
wow.
Really?
Wow.
What is wrong with people?
A lot of things, Trisha. A lot of things.
So yeah, that was my Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, mine was much, much less hectic than that. So, but yeah.
But, sorry, one more thing. Part of the reason we're so emphatic about wanting Off Duty back is not just that they're in the building, but when they're in the building, they park their patrol car outside the front of the building.
Yep.
It is right, like super obvious that they are there. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you, if those kids who were carrying had walked up to our building and seen a cop car up front, they probably would have turned around and gone elsewhere.
Yeah.
Even if they hadn't, they would not have pulled guns in the lobby. No. Knowing an officer is present.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why we're like, we need them back. If this is going to be happening, we need our off-duty back.
Yep. So, but yeah. So that's just a good sampling of the bullshit we've been putting up with for in this hiatus. So honestly, we could probably do an entire show based just on nonsense. But I don't want to. That was a very cathartic segment. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got to talk. We watched three brand new movies during that time. We've also got to talk about the unions that almost went on strike out in Hollywood. That would have really affected things for the theater industry, the entertainment industry as a whole. We've got a big shift in release dates we have to talk about. And we also have to talk about why Jason Blum, producer of Halloween Kills, made the push himself for day and date release for Halloween Kills. So we'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Zach.
It's Josh. Zach, do you enjoy video games, drinking, and attempting to solve the world's problems through ridiculous schemes?
Yeah.
Do you think others would enjoy that?
I mean, I really hope so.
So do I. So I think you all should come spend some time with us, the Midwest Meltdown. This show was created by these two fine gentlemen here, myself and Zach, when we spent the last 14 years telling each other funny stories, talking about video games, and literally anything else that comes to mind. We wanted to turn our passion for gaming into something that we could share with everyone. So again, follow us, the Midwest Meltdown, anywhere you can find your podcasts. That's Spotify, Apple Music, Podbean, Google Pods. Check us out. We'd be happy to have you.
Welcome back. So, three new movies over the last 3 weeks. This is part of the entire run-up to the Christmas season. Basically, we have one big new release every single week until the end of the year, which is fantastic for us. It's good news for everybody else that loves watching movies. So let's just go in order. So October 1st, that first weekend of the month, we had two new releases. We had Addams Family 2, which was a day and date release for us, and then for Amazon Prime is where I think you could get it at. We didn't watch it. I liked the first one. It was cute, but I didn't really feel the need to go see a second one. Trisha, I assume you didn't see it.
So I didn't see the first one, so.
Oh, well, there you go. So let's go ahead and talk about the other sequel that came out that weekend, Venom, Let There Be Carnage. We're going to try not to get into spoilers on these reviews. You guys already know I was not the biggest fan of the first movie. As time has progressed and the more I think about it, I think that movie pisses me off even more. I tried to go in with a much clearer head on this one. I will say this. It felt much shorter. Even then, mm-hmm. It still felt tediously long at points. But it did a lot more right this go around, yes. Which made it a little more enjoyable to watch. The Eddie and Venom dynamic has been is really the sole focus of the movie. And those moments for me really worked. What didn't work was the limited screen time of Woody Harrelson as Cletus Cassidy slash Carnage. And just, it felt like we really rushed to get to the end, even though there are parts where I'm like, this is just a fucking drag. Like, I'm ready to get out of here. I think for me, it was, they found a little more balance in tone for the movie, which helped immensely. I've got to say that it helped immensely from that first one where we could not figure out what the fuck the movie wanted to be. But where we wind up lacking is character development. Now, serial killer Cletus Cassidy, I don't think needs a whole lot of development. He's a fucking psychopath. And they give him an interesting enough backstory that I'm going, I need to see how they flesh this character out. And we just never got it. And I feel like you wind up completely wasting both him and Naomi Harris's character, Shriek.
I was frustrated by the lack of information regarding Carnage specifically. Like, they don't really explain the difference. Was it like, there's the moment where he's like, not a red one, but they never explained what's a red one. Why is it different? Why is Venom so scared of him?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a throwaway moment that's never explained. And that's frustrating, especially as someone who doesn't read the comics.
Yeah.
And that's never been a problem before.
Right.
Like, it's always been, okay, they have Easter eggs for people who read the comics,
but it has to never been, it's never,
yeah, but it's always been accessible to everybody. And this is the first time that I was left being like, wait, I don't understand.
Yeah.
And that was frustrating.
Yeah. And what I gathered more from that, because I don't remember there being any real big reason for why a red one's worse than a black one. My guess was it was supposed to be a throwaway joke that didn't quite stick the landing. Because when I first saw that moment in the trailer, he goes, oh shit, it's a red one. I went, and he like nopes the fuck out. I just went, I get, and that again kind of felt in that sloppiness of tone from the first movie where I'm just going, all right, in the trailer here by itself, it's just not working for me. And I'm with you. I don't think that moment works, but for entirely different reasons. Cause I don't,
I'm hoping that it's an editing problem that like they just edited out a scene that should have been left in.
Yeah.
And not a writer problem.
Yeah.
Or they just completely never explained it.
Yeah. So, also for a movie called Let There Be Carnage, you would expect Venom and Carnage to have more than one big battle at the end, which is kind of underwhelming to begin with. Like I said, there's a whole host of problems. It was certainly, of all the movies I've watched, it's certainly one of them. I did not hate it near as much as that first movie, but I don't see myself going back to watch it again.
Yeah. So,
but now they had to do something, which I know has been all over the internet. I'm not going to discuss it here, but the post-credit, when your movie's post-credit scene is more discussed than the movie itself, you got a problem. And that's all I really want to say about that. Trisha, would you agree with that?
I agree.
Okay. All right. Movie number two actually got its own episode this week. Trisha, you weren't a part of it. I had my friend JT Watson on there. Go check out the episode, Goodbye, Mr. Craig. On that episode, JT and I wound up going through an entire spoiler-filled rundown of No Time to Die and talking about what we liked, what we didn't like, what we wanted to see, where we want to see the Bond franchise go, our top five Bond movies, things like that. It was a whole almost 2-hour episode of just geeking out over all things 007. I had a blast talking about it, but I haven't really got to talk to you, and not on this show anyway, about what you thought of the movie. So No Time to Die, finally, after being delayed from November 2019 to April 2020 to October 2020 to April 2021 to October 8th, 2021, it finally arrived. Daniel Craig's final movie. So Trisha, real quick, what did you think of No Time to Die?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I'm such a casual fan that I'm not as anywhere near as invested as you are. So it's,
yeah,
it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It was good.
Good. And that's why I ask you, because I know you,
which is why when you said, hey, I'm going to do an episode with someone else about Bond, I was like, good, because I don't know that I have enough to talk to you about it.
I know you would have definitely just been like, yeah, been around cool. on your phone. Trisha, what do you think? So, but that's the that's why I'm asking you now, because you are a casual fan, mm-hmm. that, like you said, you're not as invested into it as I am. But the fact that you went into it, you enjoyed it, and of course you're familiar with the entire Craig run. Mm-hmm. You've watched all the movies, but you're familiar, yes. with Craig's run. Mm-hmm. Would you say that it kind of stuck the landing as far as getting from where we were in Casino Royale with him all the way up to this movie?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I, like I said, you can get all of my thoughts in this other episode. I enjoyed this movie immensely. I loved it. There gets to be a lot of fun in this Bond movie, which winds up, you know, obviously, when I say obviously, I'm not trying to spoil the movie here. It does have kind of a down ending. But the journey getting there is an absolute blast. There's a lot of moments of joy and reverie for kind of all things James Bond, because we get obviously the seriousness of Craig, but we get some of that Roger Moore-esque humor. Of course, fantastic set pieces throughout the movie. And we get this emotional heart that gets pulled straight from Honor Majesty's Secret Service. I like this movie quite a bit. It is now tied for number two of the Craig era with Casino Royale, Skyfall being my number one of his movies. And like I said, if you want to hear that, go listen to that episode. But I was very happy.
Something about this movie that made people want to spoil the ending in the lobby. Oh, incessantly.
We didn't talk about that. Yeah, because you can't really tell the story without, well, I mean, you can, but you kind of have to be careful with how you tell the mm-hmm. story to avoid the spoiler. But needless to say, somebody wanted a refund for how the movie ended, wanted a refund. I mean,
well, yeah, so
you're kind of joking, but
it was literally, I don't remember if it was Friday or Saturday. I want to say it was, I usually don't work Fridays, but I feel like I've been working more Fridays lately. I don't remember. It was either Friday or Saturday. I want to say it was Friday. So literally the day the movie came out, this movie has been out for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I was in the stand and one of our frontliners was getting popcorn. And these two little old ladies come out of, you know, an afternoon movie and come up to him. And they're like, we want a refund. And of course, he goes over thinking they're serious. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. What happened? And they proceed to spoil the ending for him.
Yeah.
And then kind of laugh and walk away. And so he comes over to me and he's like, have you seen No Time to Die? And I was like, yeah. He goes, these ladies just spoiled the ending for me. They said this. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's like, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Like, I told
you. Of course you haven't, because it's only the first day it's out and you're working.
Yeah. I told you when you told me that story, I'd have gone right the fuck off. Like, that probably would have been the moment that got me fired. Like, you're not. There are things that you don't spoil for this particular man. You don't spoil.
And of course, this kid is way too nice to be like, thanks, I haven't seen it yet. He just kind of whatever and walked away. But, and then that same weekend, I think Sunday, the lobby thankfully was empty, but I was standing in the bar, just kind of waiting for, you know, someone else to come in. And there's people getting out of the theater right next to me. Mm-hmm. And they're walking out and they're like, they just loudly announced the ending in the middle of the lobby.
Yeah.
And like, again, thankfully no one was really there except for, I mean, I was standing there and thankfully I'd seen it.
Right.
But I had another employee in the concession stand that hadn't seen it. And luckily he didn't hear. He had his head in the popper, but I was like, guys, stop it. And I had other employees talk about people talking about the ending coming out of it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. fucking stop.
Yeah, no, like within that first week, like I was working on a Monday or Tuesday night and people were walking out, and it's always old people. Have you noticed that? It's always old people that have no problem spoiling the movie for everybody.
And if you call them on it, they're always like, well, I just assume you work here. You've seen all the movies.
Quit assuming that. I don't have time.
No, I don't have time nor the inclination to watch everything we get.
Right.
Yes, I get them for free, but guess what? I work 40 hours a week in that building.
Yeah.
I'm only going to go up there all my free time if I really want to watch the movie.
Yeah. I was going to say, and I already wasted my free 90 minutes of the year to watch Venom 2. So I'm going to be very selective throughout the rest of the year. I can't. Oh yeah. Somebody,
people are so inconsiderate.
Yeah. Had it been me, somebody probably would have been burying their grandma that week. Like, That's how they would have spent their weekend. Like, and I'd have been.
What if there's people in the lobby walking in to go watch it, and you just announce the ending of it before they even have a chance to do it?
So that is why I say there is a general rule when it comes to talking about what you have just seen, be it in a movie theater or on a live stage production, things like that, things that other people are going to enjoy. Concerts are a little different because you're only getting them one time, and you know, it's music. It's not like it's a play. It's not like it's a movie.
No.
But when you leave a performance or a film like that, where there is a story being told, don't spoil it. Wait until you get to your car. Get in the car, turn the damn thing on with the radio, and then discuss amongst yourselves the movie. Don't discuss it out in public. Now, the movie's been
If you're going to discuss in the lobby, keep your voice down.
Yeah. Like, preferably just don't discuss it in the lobby. But if you add, or if you're going to discuss it, just say, oh, I really like this movie. I really like so-and-so. Vague things. We don't need to know every detail. And we definitely don't want major spoilers, because the ending of No Time to Die is, if it had been spoiled for me, like I said, I'd have been pissed. I would have been incredibly upset.
Right.
Yeah. So, but no, Trisha, I am glad that you enjoyed the movie. I do wish our poor employee would have gotten to see it without it having been spoiled for him. But yeah, like I said, if you want to hear all of my thoughts on it along with somebody else, and we're, like I said, I am totally biased. You can give me the worst James Bond movie and I will still enjoy that far more than I will a lot of other films. Like, I just will. Yep. So, all right. So that was October 8th. So now, last week, October 15th, just in time for spooky season, Halloween Kills. So this one was interesting and different. The critics have not been fond for it. And with audiences, I feel like it's been kind of divisive. It's getting positive reviews amongst a lot of people, but there are some that are going, well, I didn't care for this, I didn't care for that. And that's totally understandable. I personally like the movie quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it as a slasher flick. I enjoyed it as a Halloween sequel. There were some things I probably would have changed, but it sets us up to get into that the next movie, Halloween Ends, next year. But it definitely feels like a middle chapter.
Yes.
So that's
what I've been saying. It's definitely the middle movie of a trilogy. So it's moving the story along, but you're not going to get a nice, clean, wrapped up ending.
No, far from it. And nothing about this movie is clean. I will give them that. They really, really ramped up the gore and viscera this round over the last movie. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there are some gruesome moments.
Yeah. Some of which aren't even perpetrated by Michael Myers himself. So I know you know which scene I'm talking about there. So. But yeah, definitely worthy of seeing on the big screen. If slasher movies aren't your thing, or you think it's a tired genre, or you just don't like horror, I'm going to tell you to skip it just because, but there are plenty of options. But it's nice to see that all throughout this month, we have something new to watch week in and week out. And that is what we have been starving for the past 18 months. It's finally here. So Trisha, this week we've got Dune. Next week, we get Edgar Wright's Last Night in Soho.
So excited.
Then the week after that, we get Marvel's Eternals. We finally get our Marvel movie of the year. Third Marvel movie of the year. Yeah. It's just, we're gonna ride through this. So,
but I keep trying to tell our employees, is like, this is it. From here to the end of the year, it's constant.
Yeah.
We don't get an off week.
Nope. So, so yeah, but it is nice to have big movies return. But when big movies return, we obviously have to talk about the box office grosses. So that first week, let's backtrack to Venom. Best opening of the pandemic so far, of this COVID era, at $90 million. That is a huge opening. That is, was that bigger than the original movie? Do you remember? Or
I don't remember.
It's definitely the biggest of the pandemic, and even more than Shang-Chi.
You're the numbers guy, remember?
I am. So give me just a second here. But it opened to 90 million. Everybody went and saw it. Now part of that is it's a short movie. It is only 90 minutes plus your 15 minutes of previews. So it's kind of hard to gauge that. The following week, Bond opens to $55 million, which is actually the, I think they said, the second lowest grossing opening for Daniel Craig's Bond movies. When the movie's almost 3 hours, I understand. Fewer show times. Mm-hmm. It also gears towards an older audience, which, you know, because that's what I noticed when I was working at the other theater, was a lot of middle-aged to older people coming to see Bond. And that's not to say that the movie's not good for everybody, because it is. I highly recommend it. As a middle, you know, 30-something-year-old man, I really enjoyed this movie. But it is interesting to see what is going to sell best and what's going to not sell at all. Because as we saw Cry Macho with Clint Eastwood, one, that already had the day and date thing working against it. But two, the older audience that would come out is not coming out just yet because of COVID. And yeah. So it's interesting to see how that's playing out and how that, honestly, how that affects Bond. So I noticed that. And sorry, I'm going back to look up Venom's opening weekend numbers. Come here. Oh, you won't tell me the opening. It tells me it's lifetime gross. Come on. Box Office Mojo, you're better than this. I feel like it had opened to smaller numbers. Either way, 90 million is a big number right now. And so nothing's hit 100 million in its opening yet. We'll see. I think Spider-Man or Eternals is going to be the one to do it. As much as I wanted it to be Bond, it was not meant to be. But that's okay, because Bond's actually doing better overseas, and I think it still has yet to open in China. And so it's already at $500 million. So for its international gross, which is fantastic news. Obviously, we're going to get a new one, but that means Amazon's probably going to get some money back on their investment of buying the MGM. Yeah. But we want to see every movie succeed at this point. Even Venom, which, as I said, I did not care for. we still want it to succeed just for that reason alone. So then we get from there. And sorry, hold on a second. Halloween Kills. So Halloween Kills had a $49.4 million opening last week, which is great. It's not near as good as that last Halloween movie, which I do think opened to about 100 million or pretty close to, maybe 76. I can't remember. Still fairly good. This day and date's a little different. So we've talked about all these streaming services. We talked about how a lot of people have HBO Max, how a lot of people have Disney Plus, and how that really ate into the box office grosses of those movies. I have not found anybody. I found one person who has bought the ad-supported tier of Peacock at $5 a month. That is it. One person. That was a manager up at this theater I was at last week, who has. And the only reason he's paying for that is so that way he can watch The Office. Like, if that tells you, yeah. There's nothing on Peacock that it seems to be grabbing people's attention. And so while I'm sure that Peacock probably ate into some of Halloween Kills' opening weekend,
probably not as much as some of the others we've seen.
No, not even close. So
I mean, we were pretty busy. Like, we had a lot of theaters for Halloween, and most of them, especially as the night went on, the later shows, like, they were practically sold out.
Yeah.
Really, Tipper? Must you make so much noise?
Right. yeah.
The cat is playing in the boxes.
Yeah. So yeah. So while Halloween Kills is able to fit more showtimes in, obviously a lot of that's coming from the late shows where people want to go out and get scared, especially at Halloween time. So it's interesting to see how this is all playing out. Obviously, we've got Dune coming this weekend, and with it opening day and date with HBO Max, I am curious to see what's going to happen with that. It's released overseas kind of in a rolling opening. It's doing well. It's doing very well overseas. Let me see if I can find its numbers. Internationally, it has done $129.7 million. on about a $200 million budget. If they can at least get, you know, another 150 to 200 million out of the US, they'll have at least broke even on the movie. Warner Brothers has already said, though, when it comes to a Dune Part 2, they're not just going to be looking at the box office numbers. They said, honestly, we can't, in all fairness. But if which is honestly, as much as I hate this day and date thing, is great news for Denis Villeneuve and people that want to see what they're going to do with the second half of that book into a movie. So, yes. So I'm going to still tell everybody that's listening, watch Dune in theaters. Support your local movie theater. But if you can't, you actually will be okay watching it on HBO Max, because now they are looking at those numbers to see if it's generating enough interest to be worthy of a sequel or a second part to the movie.
Yeah.
So that way we can finish out the story, which is great news. So go support Dune as much as you can. One of these days we're going to talk about 1984 Dune. We did that live watch the other day, and holy cow, I feel certain that this one's going to be 10 times better than what we watched. All right, so that's what we're looking at. So since we're talking about streaming Peacock and all that, so we actually have to talk about why Halloween Kills got a day and date release, because we didn't get to discuss it a few weeks ago when it was first announced. Where we discussed it, and we discussed how really it just seems like Universal is just trying to lose money and trying to leave money on the table at the very least. Apparently, it wasn't their decision, though. Jason Blum, one of the producers on the film, has said it was actually his decision to do a day and date release for the movie. So, Trisha, I'm going to read you the quote, and I want you to tell me what you think of this response to that. Okay. So, it was my idea to do it. Peacock didn't approach me. I approached them. I, like everyone else, am a big believer in the theatrical experience. I think there should be windows. I think Universal's strategy of the 3-week window is a great strategy, but I had a bad distribution experience with Freaky. That movie is a great movie, and it didn't get seen because the distribution of it got all twisted up, and that's my fault. So what do you make of that?
That's interesting. I didn't actually ever watch Freaky. As much as I wanted to, it came out at a time where there's other things I wanted to watch, and I just never got to it.
Sure.
Right out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah. That movie came out last October, mm-hmm. the same opening weekend as Halloween Kills. And it did not do, now granted, Blumhouse movies are on a small enough budget that they should recoup their money anyway, but this one did not do well, which is a shame. I watched it on HBO Max, and it's actually a really funny horror comedy. And I highly recommend watching it. But I actually get his reasoning for that. Like, I've already been bit by this, by not doing a day and date for it, so that way more eyes would see it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it here. And then next year with Halloween Ends, it's going to be a theatrical exclusive.
I think I get what he's saying, but at the same time, you have to look at the timing.
Yeah.
When it came out last year, people were not ready to come back to the theaters.
No. Tenet had already.
We were doing very small business.
Yeah.
This October, mm-hmm. we're doing well. Mm-hmm. So I can see why he was worried and he wanted to go ahead and do the day and date.
Sure.
Because it bit him in the ass to not do it last year, but I don't think he needed it.
No,
not you don't need to do day and date at this point in time.
Right.
Because people are willing to go out and mm-hmm. whether they should or not is a different story, but we've seeing that people are willing to go out and see the movies they want to see right now. So I don't think he needed it.
No, I absolutely.
But I get where he's coming from, and I can respect why he did what he did.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that, that we are at the point now. People are starting to want to get out. They may not be wanting to get out, or at least the older crowd may not be wanting to get out for a Bond movie just yet, or the next Clint Eastwood feature. But there are quite a few that are going, okay, I can put my mask on or not put my mask on or whatever and go see a movie. You know, there is more confidence and comfort in going to a movie theater again, which is fantastic to hear. Now, if everybody just quit being dicks to us, it'd be great. So he made that decision. Warner Brothers has already announced as of today that their 2022 slate, for the most part, will be getting 45-day theatrical windows before going to HBO Max, which is honestly, that's all we were asking for in the first place.
Yeah. We don't need the full window we're used to. Give us a window.
Yeah. And so this is similar to what Paramount was doing, what Disney has now decided to do with the rest of its release slate for the rest of the year. They have said that there will be some Warner Brothers movies that will just go straight to HBO Max, but a good bulk of it is going to have that 45-day theatrical release window, which is all we can really ask for. It's good news. So I've got to pull that. I got to find this guy's name. Jason Kilar. Anyway, Warner Media CEO, not that John guy that we talked about last year, who was all about lining his pockets with stock money. He reiterated that while the day and date release strategy for Warner Brothers Motion Pictures would not push forward into 2022, a revised release structure tied to a 45-day exclusive theatrical window would work for customers and exhibitors. And he said that during the third quarter earnings call this morning, being Thursday. You're probably going to be listening to this on Friday or Monday. So he said, quote, "We're in the middle of a pandemic, and that presents very unique circumstances. We've been very much leading and first over the wall in terms of bringing our 2021 slate to customers in a way that can work for them, but also work for exhibition and work for our participants. So going into 2022, instead of that unilateral day and day, they're going to 45 days and says, quote, "A certain slate of motion pictures that will have exclusive theatrical runs of 45 days, then they will go to HBO Max. He also said that there will be other Warner Brothers titles that are released directly to HBO Max. And he said that's quite a bit different from where things were, say, 5 years ago. In comparison, Bob Backish over at Viacom CBS has said that they have been doing some day and date stuff, mostly with family movies. And so he says, quote, "We think that's actually a very good model for kids and family films, again, particularly in this COVID impacted time, because it gives consumers optionality to view the product where they feel the most comfortable. And we did a bunch of research on that. The result of that movie was a film which did very well, both theatrically, and it was a significant driver for Paramount Plus, where it's actually now one of the most watched originals to date." And that was in regards to Paw Patrol, the movie. So it looks like everybody is starting to adjust. Warner Brothers did something, obviously saw it didn't work. They are now changing it. Now, granted, they fucked themselves for the rest of the year, but
they're all figuring out what we've been saying for a year and a half.
Right.
There is no money to be made in day and date.
Right.
The money is to be had in theatrical windows.
Yep. So
now apparently there's an exception with family titles, and that's fine because I know there's a lot of families that just either, not just COVID related, but just in general, don't go to the movies because it's expensive.
Yeah.
And that's fine. They're not exactly our big sellers most of the time anyway, with a couple, you know, a handful of exceptions. Disney movies, fucking Lego movie. That was one of the worst weekends ever.
I like how that.
And I've worked some busy movies.
I love how that comes up for you like a straight up PTSD flashback from Vietnam. You're just like, no. So
look, have you ever heard of any other movie where employees were so frustrated and fed up that they trended atop about the movie on Twitter? Because there was definitely "Fuck the Lego Movie" trending on Twitter for that entire weekend, and it was all theater employees just bitching about how miserable they were.
I kind of want to see that happen again, not necessarily another Lego movie, but where just theater employees just go on. I thought the mask situation would be the one. Like, maybe that's something we should have started. But,
That's not a nationwide thing, remember, as much as it should be. There's a lot of places in this country that never adopted a mask mandate. So
true. All right. So with all that, we do have, I thought we were over this. Now, one or two shifts here and there would be fine. But we're not. Disney and Marvel have opted to go ahead and shift a bunch of release dates for the entire Marvel upcoming slate And that's going to affect Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Thor, Love and Thunder, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, The Marvels, and Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So here we go. Bear with me. Doctor Strange, originally set for March 25th, will now release on May 6th. Thor, Love and Thunder was on July 8th. Was on May 6th, is now going to July 8th. July 8th was with Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, and that's now been pushed to November 11th. Keeping track yet?
No.
The Marvels was coming from November 11th, 2022, will go to February 17th of 2023, which was Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which will now move to July 28th, 2023. In addition to that, they have removed two more Marvel films from their schedule, while another untitled film is being set for November 10th of 23, is now being moved to November 3rd of 23. So everything's moving back one slot, or roughly 2 to 4 months. So didn't really say why in the initial release. What I was gathering was...
Marvel loves their secrets.
Marvel has their secrets. I have heard rumors that there are reshoots to be done on Doctor Strange 2 to include more characters, which would just add to the multiverse craziness. Heard rumors that test screenings for that and for Spider-Man No Way Home had some confusion amongst the audience that needs to be addressed.
That would make sense.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard just need more time for production issues, especially as big as the special effects are. So that leads us to our other Disney-related delay. Indiana Jones 5 has been pushed back nearly a full year. By the time this movie comes out, Harrison Ford will be required to be in a wheelchair for his own safety. I think he'll be 80 by the time after it gets out. Probably closer to 81 at that point. So instead of July 29th of 2022, it is now pushing back to June 30th of 2023. Again, no real explanation. I would assume Harrison Ford was injured recently and is finally getting back to set, so I'm sure that's probably part of it. There's just no telling. From what I've read is that there's a lot of production issues going on, which is not shocking at this point. Trisha, do you have any thoughts on any of this or any theory as to why they're doing this big pushback outside of what I've given you?
If it was just Marvel, I would not be surprised, because I mean, it's so interconnected that if one gets delayed, they all have to be delayed, because you can't just leapfrog. But with Indiana Jones getting delayed too, that's when I kind of go, what is this unrelated? Is this related? I don't know. So I don't have answers, but that's just kind of curious.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I think production issue, production issues is the big one. For Marvel, I think it has to do more with what they're planning to do. And maybe there is some truth to the test screenings not going where they wanted them to, because there's either too much or too little that's being done. And so they need to expand upon that. It's probably too late to fix Spider-Man No Way Home. Hopefully the movie comes out fine. But that means there's still plenty of time to push everything back and get that taken care of. Plus, a summer of Marvel movies, a summer of Doctor Strange and Thor, and then Black Panther in the fall. And then, yeah, I'm okay with that. Like, because now that means the month of March belongs to Robert Pattinson and the Batman.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. Let's do that. Like, I will watch that movie 4 times in theater, 5 times, however many times, as long as it's good. Yeah. I want to talk about that trailer, but we're not going to have time, because it's holy shit. Just go look up the Batman trailer. I tell you, go look the Flash trailer up too. I was kind of underwhelmed with it, except for the parts where they showed the back of Michael Keaton's cowl and the Batmobile under a sheet. Don't even give you a full shot of it. That's exciting. The Batman trailer though, damn, looking like 7 with DC characters. I'm all in. I can't wait. Trisha, I know you were hyped for it when you saw it.
Yeah.
All right. So last story before we get out of here this week. I wanted to talk about it when things were really happening with it. It's now kind of subsided. The IATSE, which is the, I have to pull up the actual acronym. Basically, it's a compendium of the Hollywood Union. So all the backstage stuff. So the production designers, the sound guys, all that. Mm-hmm. The people that do not get enough recognition on a movie, yeah, basically have gotten, basically forced Hollywood's hand and said, we're going to do a collective bargain or we're going to go on strike. And what that would have meant for the entire entertainment industry would have been pure chaos, to say the least. And that, not for very long, because Hollywood knows we got to get this shit taken care of. But when you read some of the horror stories about what these employees were going through, these union workers working 16-hour days, 20-hour days, not getting enough sleep between turnaround, you know, getting hurt on the job and all that, something had to be done. And so if they hadn't, it would have, like I said, caused chaos across the board, not just for the theater, movie theater industry, but for television, your favorite web series, all that would have just gone.
Everything.
Yeah, would have just gone haywire. And of course, the IATSA, or IATSE, also had the backing of SAG, the Directors Guild, mm-hmm, the Writers Guild.
Everybody.
Yes, everybody. So,
except the studios, obviously.
Except, yes. So less than a week after IATSE struck a strike-averting tentative agreement with the Hollywood studios, streamers, and networks for a new film and TV contract, members of the union will learn the actual details of the deal as soon as this weekend. So, quote, the memorandum of agreement will be sent to you as soon as it is completed and received from legal staff of both sides, said a missive sent out to Local 800 on Tuesday evening. You will then have the detail notes and the contract language. Art Directors Guild Chief Nelson Coates and other local execs added. So basically that means it's going to head towards a ratification vote. Everybody's going to yay or nay on this, whether or not it's a good deal, bad deal. So union leadership is pitching members on a majority yes vote. Other locals are planning to have town halls or similar information sessions to dive into the details of a deal that's been pretty much hidden from view since Matt Loeb led IATSE came to a pact with Carol Lombardini led AMPTP, that's the studios, in the afternoon of October 16th. So some of the things that they are looking for come from the streaming side of things. They want increased wages for episodic streaming video on demand. So productions for high budget tier two, which is any subscriber amount, and high budget tiers one and two, which is less than 20 million subscribers, and long form miniseries, which are longer than 66 minutes in length, will see significant wage increases from the MOW rates. So some classifications will receive increases of up to 30%. There will be increased wages for miniseries, increased wages for long form, depending on how much they cost, but those rates will increase about 30% as well across the board. There are also wages and terms and conditions for low budget films or productions. So they will be set at no less than mid budget wages. So there's going to be a flat rate for them too. They'll have a yearly scale wage increase of 3%. There'll be health and pension plans that are funded by their employers. So, and then the lowest, this one's a good one. Lowest paid members in Local 871 will see significant increases each year of the agreement, resulting in a rate of $26 per hour by year three. So working conditions are going to change. The strongest weekend turnaround provision of any IA contract in either the US or Canada has been negotiated. So 90 days after ratification of the agreement, hourly employees will receive 54 hours of rest when you work five consecutive days in a week and 32 hours of rest when you work 6 days. There are three narrow exception scenarios that may be used to reduce the rest period to 50 hours, which include exterior night shooting, limited access to a location, health and safety hazards or concerns. And there's certain exceptions to that. All in all, it sounds like there's a lot of good to come out of this. That's going, and we've always said we're going to side with workers in these disputes. Yes. Even if it affects, you know, the entertainment industry as a whole, including the theater industry. Point being, you're doing the work, you want to get paid for it, you want to be compensated for it, mm-hmm, and you want to do it safely. Whether that means getting a good night's rest the night before going on to a shoot, or just not having to worry about falling off of something because you don't have, you know, you rush to get things done because you're trying to push to get it done in a short amount of time. So Trisha, hearing all that, there's a lot of numbers involved, obviously. But what do you think from being an employee of some place, hearing that for these guys?
I'm happy for them. They deserved it. Some of the stories I've seen people post about when all this was going on is just horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations that they were forced to work under. So if they're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah. So we'll see if they vote yes on it. Like I said, it sounds like the agreement that they came to is going to get them everything they want. And like I said, we're always going to side with the worker. Regardless of whether or not you like Star Joe, you have to side with her when she's trying to get her money from Disney after a dirty deal over Black Widow. Like, same goes for this. These guys are not the faces of what you see on television, but they are a big part of what, or in film, they are a huge part of what makes that possible. So to see them get what they deserve and to be treated fairly and treated like decent human beings and actually paid a living wage and all that, that's what we want to see more of. Regardless of how you feel about unions, I think you would have to sit there and be hard pressed to look at this and go, well, this is a bad deal for the workers.
Yeah.
I don't think so at all. Honestly, $26 an hour working out in Hollywood probably still doesn't cover all of your mortgage or your rent. But at least it's a good step in the right direction. So, it's just one of those things that you look at and you don't take into consideration when you're watching any form of media, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So, no. And you don't, and not just there, you don't take it into consideration when it comes to people that deliver food to these locations, theaters, restaurants, you know, even your local gas station, your Frito-Lay employees and all that who may be union or may not be union, having to work certain hours and all that to make a living. And that kind of ties back to what we've been saying all along. When I say be nice to your damn movie staff, it's because I shouldn't have to have made a show where we discuss all the horrible shit that we have to put up with. It's entertaining and it makes us laugh, but
the fact that it happens at all is just ridiculous.
Yeah. So kudos to all of those hardworking members, talented people out in Hollywood and in New York and wherever they may be, working on the movies and TV shows that we absolutely love or love to hate. Congratulations. Make that happen, guys. So, Trisha, do you have anything else you want to add before we get out of here this week?
Nope.
Cool. Next week or the next episode, whenever that may be, Trisha, I do want to do one last Dune related episode after we watch the new movie. Are you cool with doing that?
Yep.
Okay. So you guys have that to look forward to, especially if you sat through every last Dune book club episode, mention the episodes that I put together. That is going to be the last bit of it. So we have that to look forward to. And then of course, get back to our regular show. I kind of want to go and maybe do more of what JT and I did in our James Bond episode, where we kind of just do a deep dive on what new big movie we watched. And we'll talk about that later, but I'm just spitballing that idea and see how people respond to this first. That's it. So got to do some quick plugs. @drunk_theater on Twitter. Make sure you follow us there. That's a good way to keep up to date on what bullshit we're getting into. Support our store, mydrunkmovietheater.store. That's where you can find all of our merch. I'm actually wearing my Drunk Movie Theater Don't Be Nice to Your Damn Movie Staff t-shirt. Been swagging it out all day in this. I'm gonna have to get a couple more. Go support us if you want to help a couple movie theater managers just make a couple extra bucks. We're gonna be donating some of that money still to the Will Rogers Motion Picture Pioneers Fund, which really helped us out as well, not just on the Buy Popcorn Peasants t-shirt, but also on any of the merchandise. I've decided 10% of everything that we sell is going to go to them just for helping us out this past year. Kind of our little Christmas gift back. So make sure you guys go check that out. Of course, hit the subscribe button. Make sure you guys leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or podchaser.com or anywhere where you can find us and you can leave us a review, good, bad, ugly, whatever. We just want to hear some feedback. That way we know that one, you guys are listening, and two, what we can do to make our show better. So that's going to do it for us this week for all of us here at My Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And be nice to your damn movie staff.